Okay, welcome back. It was a very dark event when I learned, and many of you learned, that Frederick Tobin was arrested in England. He was en route to another destination. His plane stopped there, and apparently the British police took him into custody at that point on some kind of an unknown warrant issued from Zionist Germany to bring him there for trial, to stand trial for so-called hate crimes. This is getting so out of control now, and if all of you don't understand the ramifications of that, stand by, because we're going to help you understand. This is not healthy. It's indicative of a world that is being literally consumed at the hands of a very malignant, malevolent, carcinogenic beast which seeks to subvert and subjugate all peoples. And it's Big Brother and then some. It's not a good situation. Here to talk about all this is the man who has literally preserved, in my opinion, certainly done as much as anyone to preserve the First Amendment in the last 10, 15 years that I can think of. And I don't think there is anyone else. His name is Ted Pike, and he's been on the program many, many times. And without Ted's single-handed efforts to extend himself to the wall and then some, the enemies of freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of inquiry might well have won by now. In this country, we still have it. In other countries, they've lost it, you know, like Germany, like England, like, well, even in Canada, they have so-called anti-hate speech laws, which are nothing less than a curtailment of your right to express verbally and in writing your personal opinions on history, on anything, politics, you name it. Welcome back, Ted Pike.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff.
Sure. Tell us, our listeners may not know who Frederick Tobin is. Tell us what happened. Give us the background of the story, if you would.
Well, Frederick Tobin is a long-term questioner of the accuracy of the 6 million figure of the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
He also has his doubts about gas chambers being the primary vehicle toward death of those people. And as a result of that, he is politically incorrect on the international stage. He's been a kind of a gadfly to the German Holocaust industry and so on. And
Ted, excuse me. I must add, and that's a very, very good way to start explaining this, I must add also the fact that the director of the Auschwitz National Museum, the archives of the Auschwitz National Museum, has said on videotape that the so-called gas chamber at Auschwitz was built, in fact, on orders of Joseph Stalin after the Russians had taken the camp in the months following and turned into what was billed a gas chamber of mass extermination.
Yes.
For political and propaganda reasons, which exist to this day. And the original figure at Auschwitz was alleged to have been 4 billion. I've got a whole story about this on my site, tracking how the number went from 4 billion now to less, 4 million, and it is now less than 1 million. So what's the difference? 3+ million people. It's a pretty big error. Where did those 3 million go? But the 6 million figure remains intact.
Yes, it's inviolable according to the Zionist game plan, which basically says that the Western Christian nations, especially Germany, is responsible for crimes against the Jewish people, which are of a magnitude far above any other crimes that have been visited on native populations, including Russia, China, and so on, where we have something like an estimated 110 million killed in Russia, 40 million at least in China, and so on. But the Holocaust industry depends on the veracity, the sanctity of this sacred 6 million figure. And Dr. Tobin, as I say, has been a kind of a freewheeling critic of that for many years.
Which is it's his God-given right to take issue with anything he doesn't personally believe the facts support. What's going on with this world?
Yeah. Well, what happened in a nutshell, of course, was after 1945, the Anti-Defamation League of Europe, as well as the Zionists, came into the wreckage of Germany and established hate crimes laws there, which made it a federal offense to do the kind of original thinking or questioning which Dr. Tobin is famous for. And in fact, the laws there in Germany are so strict that even if a tourist comes into Germany and is sitting at a pub or something and makes a few comments of skepticism about the accuracy of the 6 million figure, he can be hauled off and incarcerated. And that's pretty much what happened to Tobin in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Germany as an Australian citizen and began talking to people. I don't know all the details, but he was found guilty of defaming the Jewish dead and spent, I believe it was 9 months in prison there. But for the last, the last 9 years, I don't believe he's been in Germany at all, but a warrant was put out by the Economic Union, authorized by Germany about 4 years ago, and they have had him in on Interpol waiting for him, I guess, to stop in London en route to some other countries, and that's what happened on October 1st. Immediately, the red lights started flashing on their computers. They rushed down to the airport. They found him on a plane and took him in, and The British Gestapo, basically the Crown, the Protection Agency, took him into custody.
Well, this is an issue again, which unfortunately the Zionists fail to mention all the other innocents who died in Germany and Eastern Europe in World War II in the so-called Holocaust. The Gypsies, the political prisoners, the Russian POWs, innocent villagers. This is ridiculous. It's as if their lives mean nothing. I don't know how many died. 6 million, 7 million, 1 million, 2 million, 10 million, in the camps. I'd like to have a formal, scientific, academic, honest investigation. As David Dees says, truth does not fear investigation. We are not allowed to investigate what allegedly happened in World War II. I want to find out. I'm sick of all this. I'm sick of the defamation of the people who died there by lunatics, and there are some out there. I'm sick of people being arrested and put in prison because they're trying to do their own investigations and have come to conclusions at variance with various political entities. The people who died in World War II, I'm an equal opportunity mourner. We lost over 50 million people in World War II. I don't believe us in a superior group. From any quarter on this planet, I think all people are equally worthy in terms of their life and their potential. There are groups who look at it differently. There's a best-selling book out. Did you see the story in Israel now? It's been a bestseller for, a number of weeks now. It's quite a shock, and you'll find the story at Rents.com. Here's the story. It's... let me just read a little bit for you. A Jewish scholar says the Jewish people were essentially created, invented. No one is more surprised than Shlomo Sand that his latest academic work has spent 19 weeks on Israel's bestseller list, and that success has come to the history professor, despite his book challenging Zionist Israel's biggest taboo. Dr. Shlomo Sand argues that the idea of a Jewish nation whose need for a safe haven was originally used to justify the founding of the State of Israel is a myth invented little more than a century ago. He's an expert in European history at Tel Aviv University. Dr. Shlomo Sand drew on extensive historical and archaeological research to support not only his claim, but several more, all equally controversial. He also argues that the Jews were never exiled from the Holy Land, that most of today's Jews have no historical connection to the land called Israel, and that the only political solution to the country's conflict with the Palestinians is to abolish the Jewish state. Well, that's a view held by Jews against Zionism as well. Now, I'm not taking a position on any of this, but I'm pointing out the fact that there are a lot of scholars who are opening issues which otherwise have been suppressed for a long time. Now, you don't see Dr. Sand being arrested, right, and challenged with Holocaust denial or anything else, even though his allegations, his historical and academic statements, are certainly as volatile, if not more volatile, than those of Frederick Tobin's.
Yes. Yeah. And as a Christian thinker, I am very adamant that regardless of the political and geographical and social ramifications of the state of Israel, the Bible itself, going all the way back to the Hebrew prophets and especially the law of Moses, forbids the Jewish people to be in there as a nation when they are disobedient to God.
Well, all right. Anyway, what we have is another man in custody in England. I guess he's going to fight extradition. He's got quite a few people behind him now. This cannot be allowed to stand. You know, we either have freedom of speech and thought and inquiry, or we don't. And I again say, and I call on the world, and I call on Jews and Christians and all people of good faith, let's end this debate and have an honest-to-goodness investigation of World War II and find out what really happened, and not just take someone's word for it. That seems kind of logical, doesn't it?
Amen.
All right, we'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Ted Pike, who has been leading the fight to protect freedom of speech. And, you know, I don't honestly care what people think or say or speak. It's their right to. And what we do at Rents.com on this program, or what you do, Ted, or what many of you listening do on an individual or group basis, is try to present to people as much of reality as we can. And I don't use the word truth anymore. It's been so corrupted. I don't pretend to have the truth. I do try to have a good grip on reality, and that's what I try to present to people so they can try to make their own decisions. We're supposed to be able to do this. In fact, we're supposed to be taught to do this in school. Of course, the government schools in this country now don't do that anymore. They teach hive mentality and groupthink. But we're supposed to be able to do this, and that's what this is really ultimately all about. And if they eventually get to the point where they can begin to arrest and extradite people anywhere in the world and haul them before some court in Israel or Germany for so-called Holocaust questioning, and these people aren't denying something terrible happened. They're arguing about the numbers. I mean, it happened. It was a terrible thing. You don't do that to any people, a Jew, gypsy, political prisoner. It doesn't matter. This is inhuman behavior. And we don't, as human beings, go over and bomb Germany for 4 years and kill a couple million people either. We don't liquidate 8 to 9 million Germans between the years 1945 and 1953 either. Joseph Stalin killed up to 50 million people. These are not human actions. So you can see the depth of the problem here. We have a real issue on the planet of good versus evil. Never more polarized, never more obvious. Ted, I'm taking up too much time. Go ahead.
Well, one of the reasons I put the hate crimes issue at the top of my agenda is because if we lose our freedom of speech, all the other rights which God and our founding forefathers have imparted to us will be lost. And that's why this situation with Dr. Tobin is so important. You see, what is unprecedented about this European Union warrant is that it's leaping across national boundaries internationally, enforcing hate crimes, arrest warrants, and indictments. And you see, Dr. Tobin, as I mentioned earlier, hadn't set foot in Germany in the last eight or nine years. However, what the German government is claiming is that his internet presence, his broadcasts, his website beamed in into the airspace of Germany, above Germany, is a trespass by Dr. Tobin, and he, in effect, is in Germany propagandizing the people and so on.
Wow.
And so, you see, they are, and furthermore, they are demanding from the British, under this EU warrant, that even though England does not have mm-hmm. a Holocaust denial law on the books, nevertheless,
right.
England, according to the treaty signed back after 9/11
mm-hmm.
with the European Union, nevertheless, England has to abide and deliver anybody that the EU and Germany want to have deported.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, this sets a tremendously ominous presence. If this is allowed to stand, and actually his trial in Germany is only a little more than a week away on October 17th. We really need to raise a howl of protest, because if this is allowed to stand, it sets the precedent for not only hate crimes, arrests, and indictments over national boundaries and sovereignties in the European Union, but also across the Atlantic Ocean to the United States of America.
Okay. What's the status over there? Do we know? Is Professor Tobin free? Is he incarcerated right now?
No, he has a bail hearing, I believe. I think it's the 12th,
mm-hmm.
a bail hearing, and I understand that David Irving is on the scene there interceding for him.
Well, I should hope
and,
so.
And has actually requested the court to allow Tobin to stay with him, and he'll guarantee that he will deliver him in time.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, the final, and this is really fast, this is only 2 weeks or so, and the man is going to be shipped off to virtually certain indictment and imprisonment in Germany. I should also mention another very disturbing fact about this warrant is it's not just for Holocaust denial. It's for anti-Semitism. And this also is unprecedented
as an
international warrant.
Mm-hmm.
You see, now, you and I know that the whole term anti-Semitism is extremely subjective, extremely politicized. Some of the latest dictionaries are now defining anti-Semitism as criticism of Jews and matters Jewish. So it's an extremely vague and broad term. Nobody really knows what it means. I know what it means. I know what anti-Semitism means. It means a belief that the Jewish people, that a Jewish child, as soon as he comes out of the womb, is inherently degenerate, subversive, corruptive, and things like that. Real anti-Semitism is racist. It is Hitlerian. It believes that the genes, the heredity of Jews, by their very nature and the evolutionary process, inclines them to be degenerate and subversive. And that's what Hitler believed. But that is not what is going on today.
No, it's not. That opens up a whole other discussion. But people who convert to Judaism have different genetic background, like the Khazarian Empire of the Southern Caucasus. Semitic peoples are Middle Eastern peoples. Palestinians are Semitic peoples, whether they be Arab or Christian. Jews who have lived in that area for a long, long time are certainly of the same genetic heritage. Anyway, so the term anti-Semitism, one of the most misused, abused, and politicized, as Ted said, terms of our times, is now thrown at Frederick Tobin, too. I didn't know that. All right, we'll be right back. Okay, and welcome back. Talking with Reverend Ted Pike about the arrest of Frederick Tobin. A court in southwest Russia convicted a visiting American Fulbright scholar on drug charges. This is in April, some time ago, and sentenced him to 37 months. That's a whole different story. We have to remember, this is very interesting. Okay. Now, Frederick Tobin committed no crime in England or Germany. What do you call it? A thought crime? I don't know. It's one of those nebulous terms that can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. Frederick Tobin didn't do anything that he shouldn't be under God's universal law allowed to do. And that's question history, any period of history, any group in history, as much as he wants. It's his right, but apparently not, according to some special interest groups. And these are not Jews who oppose Zionism or Jews who understand that they've been used over and over again by Zionists and sacrificed. This is a political issue. It's an effort. You want to call it Big Brother? You can do that. You can call it anything you want. It's a total domination and enslavement of humankind. And it really, it begins and ends with the ability to think freely and honestly. And once that freedom of thought is taken away, it's all really downhill from there on out.
Yeah. Well, as I was saying, this is not a problem of the Europeans. It's not a problem with England or Germany. it's a world problem now, because this warrant basically says that anybody around the world, especially people who are on the internet, like you, Jeff, like myself, like so many others, because we invade the airspace over European countries which do have hate laws, they can initiate a warrant.
That's ridiculous. Shortwave radio. So shortwave radio bounces around the world. Somebody picks it up in Germany, and they'll issue an arrest warrant for you.
Yeah, that's right. And we can't let this precedent get established. I might just mention that at my website, which is www.truthtellers.org, we have an extensive list with phone numbers, emails, fax numbers, and so on, of top British parliamentarians, even Harold Brown, Prime Minister, and so on. People really should come to truthtellers.org and send off some emails. We have sample letters there protesting what is going on. And there is quite a bit of protest going on in England, not as much as I would like, but the head of the Liberal Democrats Home Affairs, Chris Huhne, is speaking out very boldly. He's a liberal. He's not a conservative, but he's pointing out that this European arrest warrant is being exercised and taken advantage of far beyond what is safe for democracy and freedom of speech in Britain and in the world.
All true. So where do we go from here? What happens? A long, drawn-out proceeding in London, like poor Gary McKinnon was put through, the Pentagon hacker, and now he's lost and he's going to be sent to the United States to face between, I guess, life in prison. Many other hackers get months. Of course, what he found there apparently is the problem.
I think what the problem is, it's not going to be long and drawn out. In fact, David Irving, the people over there are shocked at how quickly Tobin could be out of the country. Literally, in a,
what are they saying?
The hearing is a little more than a week from now, October 17th. Mm-hmm. And according to Irving, the judge is already showing himself very contemptuous of Tobin, a high-handed, rude, and so on.
Yeah.
And Tobin's chances are not very bright.
Well, look what happened to Ernst Zundel in Canada. He was in solitary confinement for the better part of 2 years before he was finally extradited to Germany.
That's right. But here, the extradition could literally take place within 2 weeks. And that's why I'm just encouraging people to come to Truth Tellers and send off some emails. And if you have international calling, make some calls. And we just need to get a barrage of calls coming both from the United States, Canada, the West, as well as the Western European countries around the world, letting them know that this is not being done in a corner. The international spotlight is shining on it. This is what I was helpful in doing with Michael Markovich of the Philly 11.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2004. We got on talk radio in the United States. We drew international attention and controversy to Philadelphia, and we were able to back them down and obtain the freedom of the Philadelphia 11. I believe the same thing can happen in Britain. It certainly did happen with the arrest and indictment and conviction of Akey Green in Sweden. He was the pastor who had criticized homosexuality from the pulpit and was sentenced as a hate criminal to prison. But there was so much international outrage that the Swedish Supreme Court exonerated him. And furthermore, we can talk about Canada up there. You know, Maclean's magazine and Mark Stein were indicted for the hate crime of criticizing Islam last year. And again, it was just too big a story, too outrageous, an abuse of power. And now, as I understand, almost all the large newspapers of Canada have called for a repeal, at least of the internet aspect of the federal hate crimes law in Canada. So this is very encouraging.
That is encouraging.
It is. It really is. And not to mention the fact that in our own Congress 2 years ago, largely as a result of concentrated firepower coming in from the listeners to Alternative Talk Radio and your website and others, we were able to defeat a full six different major Orwellian pieces of legislation, either defeat them or delay them in the 110th Congress, including the federal hate crimes bill and ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And, of course, all that stuff is coming back through in about 3 months. But nevertheless, we should be aware of our successes, and that should energize us to
speak out. If a hate bill gets through Congress, the next president, if it is Barack Obama, will sign it real fast.
Yes, he will.
And then we're in real serious trouble. The Telegraph in the UK, big paper there, has a story encouraging to see. Dr. Frederick Tobin's arrest should alarm all of us. And I'll read a little bit of that to you when we continue. Back in just a minute with Reverend Ted Pike. Editorial in the Telegraph in England. Dr. Frederick Tobin's arrest should alarm all of us. The right to voice unpopular or even untrue and unpleasant opinions is essential to free speech, and free speech is one of the most basic values of any liberal democracy. How about of any free society? Free speech cannot flourish when the individual may express only those opinions which the state or other special interest groups, I added that, have decided it will permit. Once that happens, it evokes George Orwell's nightmare of the Ministry of Truth, in which the state throttles all independent thought and destroys free expression completely. That is why the arrest of Dr. Frederick Tobin at Heathrow Airport last week is so disturbing. Dr. Tobin has not committed a crime in this country. His offense is to have published opinions on his website, which he writes from his home in Australia. Opinions that question whether the Nazi extermination of the Jews happened and what the numbers were. His opinions are wrong and offensive, but error and offensiveness are not grounds for banning an opinion, still less for imprisoning the individual who expressed it. Denying the Holocaust or questioning the Holocaust is not a crime in Britain, but it is illegal in Germany. The German authorities want to punish Dr. Tobin for his views, and they have asked the courts here to help them. They want Britain to extradite Dr. Tobin so he can be tried and sentenced for his thought crimes. Folks, I know many of you listening have to be enraged about this. This is the end if this starts to happen here. And it's the end if it's happening there. Germany, of course, has been tragically on its knees with its hands tied behind its back since World War II, being overseen and dictated to by world Zionism, a pathetic and sad ending of a once great and productive culture and nation. The British legal system, back to the editorial, should have no part in this process. It is a blatant attack on free speech. The editorial goes on to say, the government wrongly signed up to the European arrest warrant and to the accelerated procedures for extraditing people arrested in Britain to other EU countries. Dr. Tobin's case is precisely the sort of incident which ministers assured us would never happen. They said the warrant was only for terrorists and drug dealers. Now that it is being used to punish opinions, our government and judges have an obligation to throw it out. And that's the point, Ted. They start out by saying, over here, we need hate laws to protect homosexuals, to protect other special interest groups. And then what happens when they get passed? They immediately begin used in the case of the alleged criticism of the Holocaust industry.
Yeah, right. Well, not only that, but I have been instrumental in alerting the world to the dangers posed by our own U.S. State Department. 3 or 4 years ago, our Congress voted in unanimously the creation of the Office of Global Anti-Semitism in our U.S. State Department. It's a big ADL-run front and Gestapo, basically. And in their latest report, the 2008 report to Congress, they stated flat out that basically Christians, it says anyone who upholds the the idea that the Jews 2,000 years ago were instrumental in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Our State Department calls that classic anti-Semitism. This is our U.S. government now saying that a Bible-believing Christian who upholds the New Testament record of Jewish complicity in the crucifixion is now a classic anti-Semite. And as quickly, you know, the ADL will define classic anti-Semite as Adolf Hitler. So basically, our government is saying that Christians, tens of millions of evangelical Christians now who believe the New Testament, are in the same ideological category as Adolf Hitler. You see, this indictment against Tobin is not just a Holocaust reductionist issue. It's an anti-Semitism issue, and it leaps over right over to our U.S. State Department and leaps up to Canada because Zundel, of course, was deported from Canada, stolen out of the United States, kept in solitary, deported to Germany under the charge of being a domestic terrorist. And up in Canada, of course, it is a hate crime. It is anti-Semitism to allege that the Jews killed Christ 2,000 years ago. You can have a $5,000 fine if a pastor boldly says that from the pulpit. And, of course, it's contempt of court charges if he repeats it after he's paid his $5,000 and means prison. And what they're doing, you see, is they're linking a bunch of dots together. The words anti-Semitism, hate crime, thought crime, speech crime, Holocaust denial, all these things are being linked together to include evangelical Christians, which is really, really the ultimate bullseye, the ultimate objective of all this ADL speech crime, thought crime, hate crime legislation. It's all directed to the ancient rival of Talmudic Judaism, which is basically Jesus Christ and authentic Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when I send out my emails to many evangelical leaders and Christians in America, I'm calling them to get involved in this fight.
Mm-hmm.
They can't stand apart from what's happening with Tobin or Zundel or Jermar Rudolph or any of these people, because we're all going to come down together, and the indictments, the precedents, the legal precedents which are now being set internationally will come back like a boomerang and devastate the evangelical church.
It's amazing, isn't it, how less than 2% of the population of this country wields such ungodly amounts of power. It's truly remarkable.
It's not, when you say 2%, you're talking about assimilated Jewry in America, but really, only a relatively small percentage of those are these really activist, anti-Christian, ADL B'nai B'rith,
It's a fraction of that, of course.
That's right.
But in the aggregate, it's 2%. And many of those people are every bit as much concerned about this as you and I.
Absolutely.
And they support us, and they support our Constitution. They're Americans. They're great people. This whole issue of Zion, and I've been, you know, Ted, I've been doing this for probably well over 12, well, going on 13 years now, trying to warn people that Zionism has nothing to do with Judaism, and they've been hiding behind it and using it as a shield. They've been doing this for decades, going all the way back to World War II and before. These people are not religious. They are secular. They are absolute master manipulators. It's a bad scene, and you're right. Unless the Christian community stands up with you and protects all people and all of their right to free speech, they're going to go down too.
Yes, they are, and obviously my mission as a Christian pastor is to try to awaken this slumbering, huge, we're talking 70 million evangelicals in America who are in blind obeisance to Israel and all matters Jewish. I'm trying desperately to awaken them, and many, many evangelicals are coming to my website and being awakened, but still only, I would say, a very small percentage of those who should be reading their Bible and listening what Jesus said about these Pharisees and all that they started, all of the evil of Talmudic Judaism, because basically what I'm doing is very, very similar to what Jesus did and the Hebrew prophets. I'm not castigating the Jewish people, the flock of Israel. I'm going after the same kind of evil Jewish leaders that Jesus, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel and so on went after. And that is not anti-Semitism. That is old-fashioned biblical Christianity and the law and the prophets of the Old Testament. Nothing wrong with it. And it sets a pattern for free speech and boldness to speak the whole truth. And as you mentioned earlier in the program, to affirm reality. And that is what truth is. Truth is the affirmation of reality. When we know what is real and we, out of sincerity, cry out and speak to people out of the burden of our hearts, like Tobin is doing, like Zundel did, then that is the last crime, so-called crime on planet Earth, mm-hmm. which should be punished.
I don't know when Ernst is due to be let out, or Jeremiah Rudolph, or any
of the
others.
Yeah, I got an email from his wife just yesterday,
uh-huh.
and I think it's something like 8 months from now. He has served about 5 years in prison. And by the way, she tells me he narrowly escaped being sent to Israel for trial and imprisonment in Israel.
Oh, they'd never let him out there.
Yeah, and that shows how close Israel is to taking the place of Germany
mm-hmm.
as the main so-called hate crimes Gestapo of the world.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in my latest e-alert at truthtellers.org, I describe how a new international court of the Sanhedrin is being established in Israel today, and
mm-hmm.
it is proclaiming itself as an international court. It aspires to mm-hmm. the same level of jurisprudence internationally as the Hague or the United Nations. It is already proclaiming itself sovereign over the nations. That's a quote.
Over the world.
In fact, during the latest uh-huh. the Chinese Olympics, the Sanhedrin made it a pronouncement against the government of China
uh-huh.
proclaiming itself sovereign over the nation of China. And so this is a trend, and
wow.
as I also mentioned in this article, Jesus prophesied that his disciples in the last days would be led up to the courts and the synagogues to be punished and imprisoned.
Wow. Well, Ted, thanks for bringing us up to date on the arrest of Frederick Tobin. We'll keep following the story, and I appreciate all you've done for America. Whether our listeners are Christian or Jewish or Buddhist, it doesn't matter. You've been working for everyone, and we appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff.
Okay. Good night, Ted.
Good night.
Reverend Ted Pike, and these are very serious issues. Okay, we're going to pause for 21 hours. Be right back with you tomorrow night. In the meantime, we'll be with you at Rents.com. Thanks so much for spending your time with us this evening.